Hello and welcome to this episode of The Mortal Wound. Today we went to the Forge World Open Day at Warhammer World in Nottingham, and I went with Rich, Jan and Clark, who are all joining me on this episode, and we're going to go through some of the things that we saw and what we did and talked about and what we may have won, spoiler, during today while we're at the Warhammer World Open Day. So joined by Rich.
Hello.
Jan.
Hello.
And Clark.
Word it up.
Wicked. So, first thing I suppose that we'll go through today is, what was the favourite thing that you saw at the open day today?
My favourite thing was watching Rich nearly fill his pants when he won the war Titan.
Yeah, so, spoiler, Rich won a Titan. They were doing a raffle at the Warhammer World Open Day. All of the funds went to Children in Need, which is really cool. It was £1 per ticket, so all four of us bought like 20 quid's worth of raffle tickets.
Totally worth it.
And they drew the raffle at 2:30. We finished eating our lunch and then we went through into the main hall. And the head of the Forge World team was there, and they got a big like Space Marine helmet full of all the tickets. And he sort of explained how he was going to do it. I'm going to tell you how many numbers are on the ticket, what colour the ticket is, what the first number is, then what the second number, blah, 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 blah. So the first thing he did is he went, well, it's green, and we all went, wicked, we've all got green tickets.
Yep.
And then he went 3, and then Jan cried a little bit because he decided not to buy tickets when we all did first thing this morning.
Yeah, he went back later on.
And so when they went 3, we were all a bit like, we're in, because we'd bought, like, Rich started at 3:21 to 3:30.
Yep.
I'd got 3:31 to 3:40. And Clark had got 3:41 to 3:50, I think.
So 30% were in for a decent shot.
So yeah, we were quite excited when they went 3 green, and then they obviously went 2, and I went, damn, that's
so
me.
I, yeah.
And me and Clark were both like, shit, that's us out.
At that point, I blacked out. I was gone.
At that point, Jan sort of turned around and went, Rich has got 3:20 because he was before you, and we looked around and Rich is stood there literally vibrating because he's a bit further away from us, literally shaking, and the look on his face is amazing.
Yeah, I saw him run across the entire hall like some unicorn towards the stage, prancing about.
Yeah, it was quite funny because Tony, the guy from Forge World, was like, yeah, last time when we did a raffle, we had a guy who'd got sort of everything from 1 to 9, but didn't have the 0. So the guy who won it had got the 0, was just the last one on his ticket, and Jan was just stood there flashing a big 0 at Rich before he called the last number.
That's it. I was standing there begging for that 90% chance.
And surprisingly, it came out, and Rich won a Reaver Titan
with 3 weapon options, which is good return on the day.
It is.
I can't say I'm unhappy with that.
No, it's pretty strong. So we've been obviously having a bit of a look at Titan stats in the car on the way home, and it's pretty retarded.
Vicious. Absolutely vicious.
Like, I can't see how much opportunity they'll get to play it with it being like 2,400 points on its own, but
it's true. It's
one
true.
Day, one day.
Potentially one day, yeah, definitely. Definitely gives me plenty of time to build it and put a sick paint job.
Yeah, but it's a massive fucking pile of resin, basically.
It is, yeah.
We're going to do a bit of an unboxing video, because from the certificate from it, it looks like there's only like
2,100 or something.
100 and something.
It's either 2,139 or 2,319.
Yeah,
either way, there's less than like 2,500 of them that Forge World have sold, so we'll probably get round to doing a bit of an unboxing video for that you'll find on YouTube at some point.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll cover that. So yeah, so that was your favourite thing, Jan. Mark?
That was pretty funny.
Yeah, I think mine is always kind of discovering the new things, and I don't mean to sound that in a fluffy way, but I mean discovering the new things when you go along. Now, from my perspective, I follow Warhammer and Games Workshop and all the different kind of things, but I don't follow it as closely as some people do. So whenever I go to Warhammer World or any of the events with you guys, it's always nice when you see little things that pop up or crop up that you just don't necessarily hear about. Like, you know, there's the new Space Wolves miniatures that might be coming out. There's the new, they're the kind of
Unveiling.
Yeah, I was gonna. I was like the undertone
yeah.
of the.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like obviously the Primarchs are quite a big deal when they come out.
That's it.
But you're quite more interested in like the other models.
The lesser guys.
The
but then you find out like Necromunda's coming back out again, or you know,
big spoiler there.
Yeah. Or
well,
Titan Legions.
By the time this comes out, everybody will
that. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
But yeah, so Necromunda is coming back, which is amazing.
It was quite interesting. Everyone got handed one of these leaflets when they went through the. Through the door.
That was a nice reveal.
It was a very nice reveal. Yeah. So, on the as soon as you open it, you're greeted with all the things that are getting released on the day, which I'm sure everyone's seen. It's been all over Facebook. But one more fold, and you're there with a very nice
full A3 Necromunda Underhive poster with what looks like an Escher
Ganga
probably on it, with just coming soon above it. So that's a really cool piece of artwork.
Yes,
and they've got really some good. Of the. They've got two Escher Gangas and two
Goliath
Gangas
that
were in the cabinet. They've got them already painted up and everything, and they looked super sexy. Yeah. And they've got the plastic ones as well, haven't they?
Yeah, they had the blank ones, which look really good as well.
Sounds like all the gangs are going to be plastic multi-part kits. With maybe resin. Like
upgrade kits by the sounds of it, because it sounds like it's mostly coming out of the Forge World studio rather than...
Yeah, especially this game studio.
Extremely high detail. I was very impressed.
Yeah, it looks stunning.
Initially, I was looking at using them for some cultist models for my Alpha Legion, but I think they're too good for that.
Yeah, I think it'll be... I think when they come out, and I think... am I right in saying that we heard that they're going to be doing it in a similar sort of release schedule to Blood Bowl?
Yes.
So there'll be a core box come out, and then they'll be adding
gangs
more gangs sort of on a release schedule following that.
Yeah, so you can probably suspect.
I was listening to Andy Hoare talking to someone, and he was saying that they've got the first two gangs finished, Escher's and Goliath's. The third gang's nearly finished. They're doing all the original gangs.
Probably get those two in a starter box then.
Yeah. And then they're going to do all the gangs from Outlanders, and then probably do new gangs.
Very nice.
That
would be interesting. That
very,
really
very
cool.
Nice. Did you mention Arbites?
Yeah, someone asked him about Arbites, and he said probably not Arbites like in the Underworld, but there might be some kind of new law enforcement
type faction.
Maybe... a la Judge Dredd judges that have taken the long walk, so like Wasteland judges maybe.
Yeah,
something
could be interesting.
That could be quite a cool
concept.
But that's all just speculation, really.
Right. Mark, what was your favourite thing?
I really liked... So I've never done a Forge World Open Day before, so I wasn't really sure what you'd do. So we were all like, well, we're just going to go. And I was like, where are we going? And then you go through Bugman's and then through like the staff door, in effect, and into... what is, I suppose, the staff canteen area, isn't it? Or the staff sort of break room area. And they've covered up all of the sort of canteen bits, but then they've got all of the...
You get quite a nice feeling going through the corridor with all the black sheets and everything like that. Looks really cool.
And then you sort of going into the room and being able to see everything that they're sort of working on, which is really cool.
Yeah, they've got all the stalls for all the specific areas.
Yeah.
All to one side, so with the guys who work specifically on
in
them.
Those
it's
areas.
Really good.
I think probably my favourite part of today, though, was chatting with Simon Egan, who works on the Primarchs mostly. And he was going through...
Such a good guy. He's always up for a laugh. Always good for a good long chat.
Yeah, we had a proper good laugh with him. I think because he's done a lot of work on Russ recently, hasn't he? Which is obviously not long been... well, it's been out a month or two now, is that right?
Yeah, it's been out for quite a few months. Released earlier in the year.
Yeah, so
his previous projects are like Korax, Kurz, he did Gilliman, and Magnus. So he's done quite a few of the big names.
And he's working on Dawn.
Yeah, so we've
on Dawn.
It's for Warhammer Fest, didn't we? Because we gave him a
nudge
and asked him who's next.
I was hassling him for potential Alpha Legion leaks when Alpharius is due out.
But we found out it was Dawn there. So.
Yeah. So we were chatting with him, and it's really cool because he's got all of these sort of art book portfolios, I suppose, that is like sort of like concept art or like art from previous artists that are in the sort of the vein of Russ and stuff like that, and then artwork from people who have done stuff in like the Red Books and the Black Books from Forge World, where they've sort of
the designs that they use
and like sort of the Celtic knotwork patterns and stuff like that, and he sort of talks about how he's sort of used those bits, and you've got his sort of big blown up pictures of where he's been working on the model, and then he sort of goes, so what I've done is I've looked at like these bits of like patterning, and then all of a sudden you sort of see start of it sort of appearing on the model, like bits of it are on like his shin guard or on his knee pad or on his under his shoulder pad and around like the chest armour and stuff like that.
Yeah, where he might not use the whole design, he'll just take a little piece of it and incorporate it and work it into the armour, like really building it up from a base level. It's it was good to go through his process with him.
I think in that book as well that he had his own versions of the drawings. So he'd taken the ones out of the Forge World books and then kind of done his own little doodles. Yeah. So they were really nice.
Yeah. I think one of the things that I found was quite funny as well is because it sounds like he does a lot of sculpting sort of freehand rather than sort of 3D modelling. And he was saying that like a lot of the Heresy stuff, which you see has got all the very segmented armour plates and stuff like that. And he was saying how much of a pain it is to do those elements freehand to sort of keep them all sort of straight lines and parallel to each other and not have it look shit, basically.
Yeah.
which, you know, he does a fucking amazing job. Like
He does.
Like, Russ is a stunning model, and so is Magnus, and they were on about how the... There was bits about around his base evolution as well, weren't it? Because they wanted it to be a duel because it was such an epic part of the backstory and how it sort of evolved into the duel base that it is now.
Yeah, it was interesting seeing it start off as a base with him and his two wolves.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
It was a really good idea.
Yeah. Yeah, because he originally conceptualised, is that even the word?
Yeah.
That it would have a much bigger base with the two wolves anyway, and then there would also be some...
space for Magnus, and then like Lee's Thousand Sons.
Yeah, so that would have been quite good. It almost makes you kind of think, well, how big can these dioramas go, obviously, within the confines of cost and time and things, they have to be as small as they are, but it's good to see that designers think bigger than it should be.
I think it was nice seeing his pictures as well, where he'd got Russ's sword built up of
other pieces,
like a bit of a Gilman sword, and then a bit of a Blood Angels sort of hilt kind of thing, and then a bit of like an Abaddon sword, and then
the head as well was someone
Lorgar's head, did he say it was, or somebody
Fulgrim's
head. And then how he started to then sculpt stuff over the top and change the face.
I like how it almost starts as a kitbash and then sort of evolves from there.
That was my highlight of the day. I think that was really sort of insightful into, because I suppose a lot of companies now tend to do a lot of like 3D modelling.
Mm-hmm.
Like I know from sort of Steamforged and their Gilball line, a lot of their stuff that is sculpted by Russ is all sort of 3D modelled and then goes to 3D printed and then goes to sort of production from there. Whereas obviously Games Workshop, I think, probably have a lot of that still, but then they've obviously got sort of the more traditional sculpting as well.
Yeah, that's it. I really liked seeing the very large tablets that the guys were drawing on.
That was really impressive.
Like that. Like true artwork, just full digital form though.
Yeah.
It's very good.
Yeah, they were big, sort of, I suppose, 2 foot across by like 18 inch high touchscreen tablets with pens and everything that they were doing the design work, which looked like the cover of the next Forge World
Red Book.
The next Red Book, didn't it? And it got the Blood Angels insignia on it, hadn't it?
It did.
So that looks quite cool as well.
So potential spoilers there.
Yeah, definitely.
Delicious. Right, so did you guys go see the exhibits?
Yeah, something that I pointed out was and I'd kind of mentioned earlier about the exhibits, was the fact that they're adding to them now. So the big exhibit at the end, which is kind of like the Hogwarts of the 40k universe, has had Primaris Marines and a few other bits and bobs added to it.
Gilliman's there as well now, isn't he?
Yeah, which I really thought was a nice touch. Now, whether they actually had the forethought like months and months ago, because obviously the way GW works, it's got a production line of we're doing this and this and this. Or they just kind of thought, well, let's make these displays evolve as they kind of go along. I thought that was a really, really nice touch because it was subtle and it didn't kind of have this big like banner around it going, look what we've added here.
Yeah.
It was nice for the hobbyists to kind of go.
Yeah, it was just, it was added on. There was no extra, like you say, there was no signpost into it. They were just, and to be fair, they were in quite a small piece of the battlefield as well. It was like they were late joining the battle, really, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So just for everyone else, it's as you come through the doors, looking at it from above, it's kind of the far left corner where the giant Titan is anyway, having the Titan fight, and you've got there's a wall of Titan anyway, but just to the left of that as you look at it, there's the new Marines coming on, but it was quite a nice touch.
I thought, especially for the
Primarch of the whole chapter, just not to kind of be out there on his own and not in the middle of some battle somewhere else. But it was
it's kind of nice that he's
it felt a bit like Robo and his drinking buddies, really. He's turned up, didn't he?
It's nice that he's let Calgar have a bit of the action, seeing as he probably doesn't see much table time now, where he's off in the big corner up in the tower.
It's like Calgar's up at the top.
Fighting the big demon.
Yeah, it's like, you could take that on the chin, mate.
Yeah.
I'm back now. If you die, I'm in charge.
Yeah, we'll just do-si-do down here for a bit. Yeah, so that was quite good for me, I think. And then it's recognising which displays are new, because, I mean, if anyone goes into the kind of display area, there are so many to see across all the different ranges that sometimes you get either blindsided anyway, or you realise that the last time you went, if you're fortunate enough to go more than once, you've missed certain displays, or you've missed things on displays that you had a look at. And I think I saw two or three this time that I've not seen before. And then
There was a new
Dark Angels one.
There was new dwarf overlords ones. Yeah. I can't pronounce the name.
Caradhron overlords, isn't it? Like the steampunk dwarves for Age of Sigmar.
Yeah, it was nice.
And that was really cool because it was all like cotton wool on the bottom of it. So it was like they were coming out through the clouds, which was really cool.
It's like the ghouls at the top of the tower. It looks really good. They've done a good job of it.
They've moved the Iron Warriors,
Iron Hands,
and Emperor's Children one around. Yes. I don't think that was where it was.
No, that's not previously.
It looked like they put a wall up in that room.
Yeah.
So
I'm sure that one was right by the doors as you came.
It was more to the right when you came.
Yeah. The one I enjoyed seeing was how they've updated the Battle of Prospero. So. So rather than Russ just running around kicking Magnus's kids over, he's now got Magnus to face, which is quite nice. And the custodians have shown up.
Yeah, and you've got things like the new Asyron Contemptor Dreadnought, like the Thousand Suns specific Dreadnoughts there, and you've got some of the Thousand Suns.
Yeah, Amon's turned up.
Robots as well, like the Mechanicum robots of the Thousand Suns.
It feels a lot more complete now.
Yeah, it was very cool.
Yes, it does.
There's still a Leviathan kicking ass and taking names in the middle.
Yeah.
Hint, hint, Jan.
Yeah.
I nearly bought one, but they have no weapons.
Should have bought one earlier in the day.
I should have bought one earlier.
Oh, than tickets.
Yeah, that's fine. Well, it's all good.
Update on the displays as well. We spoke to, it was Harvey Snape, I think, at the Warhammer World Studio, and he was talking about the two or three new displays. So there's the Necron display.
That looks quite good. That massive obelisk.
Good. And that's quite good in that it's Blood Angels versus Necrons, obviously, from a colour perspective.
Yeah, but green and bros.
Well, we don't know, do we?
Yeah. The breakfast in.
And then there's going to be the Imperial Navy one as well, I think.
That's going to be a board that you can play on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Board.
Yes.
Yeah.
One of the big showpiece boards that you can book out and play your games over.
That was using some of the new Mechanicum sort of kits, wasn't it? The Mechanicum terrain kits. Like, they've got, like, probably like a, I don't know, nearly a 2 foot high tower.
Yeah.
Kind of constructed out of different bits of Mechanicum terrain kits and stuff like that, which look really cool.
Yeah, they'll be using the Quilla landing pad Realm of Battle Tiles. That's what he's using. He says there's going to be two of those, and the rest will be made up of the Sector Imperialis. Not the Sector Imperialis, the Zone Mortalis.
Cool, that's really wicked. Yeah, because they've got some Zone Mortalis bits there, haven't they?
They did, yeah, so that might be worth booking out next time it's available.
When it gets there, yeah.
Maybe I can use my Reaver on it.
Yeah. Hopefully, if it's Zone Mortalis, it won't fit.
They're not putting the walls on because it's going to be like an airfield, Imperial airfield, and they're going
to
like snow it up apparently.
With its 360-inch range.
Shoot the next board over.
That's it,
give him a bit of love.
Shoot Bookman's.
Right.
So that was the new exhibits. What did we spend money on today? So, raffle tickets.
£20 well spent.
So we all bought some raffle tickets. I bought some Raven Guard bits. I bought the Heresy... Dark Fury Raven Guard unit, so I can use one of them as a character for 40k, but then I'll obviously probably use them as maybe Vanguard Assault Marines or something like that as well as an idea.
Yeah.
They'll look really good.
They're really cool.
That's some nice Sergeant models.
I picked up some Legion Assault Cannons, Auto Cannons, and some of the big Volkites as well.
Very nice, very nice.
So, could have been worse. Oh yeah, I bought the Open War cards as well.
Yeah, should we talk about those?
Yeah, we can do a little bit. So, Open War cards, Jan sort of clocked onto them, but there was only one set left.
Yeah.
Too slow.
Yeah. Too slow.
Should have bought them earlier.
I completely forgot about them. I heard someone mention them in the exhibit again. I was like, oh yeah, you guys heard about these.
Yeah, so these are like a new feature. These are something I haven't heard GW doing before.
Yeah, I quite like it. Go on.
Yeah, I think I saw them on one of the Twitch live streams from Warhammer TV when they were demoing them. And they seemed like a pretty cool way of introducing random elements to your game.
Yeah. So in the box, you get a set of 12 objective cards, 12 deployment cards, 12 twist cards, 12 sudden death cards, and 12 ruse cards. So,
which give you 60,000 game combinations, apparently.
Yeah, probably.
As per the website.
Yeah.
So that's quite good. But I mean, it takes out the kind of thought process, but it adds the... Well, I don't say it takes out the thought process, but it adds in the fun element to... We're not quite sure what we're going to play, who...
Yeah, so like if you played the game missions in the book, like, so, like, over and over and over...
Yeah, you'd probably get a bit boring.
Yeah,
so if we sort of go around in some sort of order, I suppose. So I've got deployment cards, which are pretty much the standard deployments out of the rule book, but it looks like it combines all of the ones for Maelstrom and what's the other one?
To be honest, it looks
Eternal
like,
War?
Yeah,
Eternal War, I think.
So you've got all of the...
So, and effectively, it's some nice artwork on the back, and then you flip the card over, and it's just got a picture of your deployment map on it.
Nice. It's
pretty straightforward, shows you... And it's all in full colour, as you'd probably expect. So you've got player A deployment, the gap between the deployment zones, player B deployment zone. So they're pretty straightforward. So I guess you just shuffle them up and then you draw one.
But there's some really interesting ones there. They're not all ones that you're used to seeing.
No, but I think that's quite common in 40K as well now, isn't it? In the new rulebook, there's some quite different deployment zones,
yes,
I think. But yeah, so there are some slightly different ones, which is pretty cool.
Right up to the middle line deployment zones.
Yeah, like pretty much touching each other.
There was one with two halves.
That one.
That's
brutal.
That's going to be a mess.
Yeah, so there is one that looks like if you're playing it on a 6-foot by 4-foot board, your deployment zones meet in the middle of the table.
That's not going to end pretty.
That's just going to be a fucking brawl. There's another one as well, which is more or less the same, but it's
lengthways. Nice.
So yeah,
good times.
Some pretty interesting stuff there. So Jan, you've got the objective
card. So it looks like so this one's taking hold. So place an objective marker at the centre of the battlefield. Sounds like relic. And each player sets up one more in their deployment zone more than 12 inches. So it's like the old one where you've got one in the middle and one in each deployment zone.
Yeah.
That's one for example. You score a victory point at the end of each turn if you hold it.
Nice. So it's a lot that it's cumulative.
Yeah, the objective is also controlled by the player at the end of their last turn. They score 3 victory points instead.
Strong, pretty cool.
The player with the most victory points wins. But there's 12 of these, is there?
There are 12 objective cards, yeah. Nice. 12 objective, 12 deployment, 12 twist, which... Who's got
twist? I've got the
cards.
Twist cards. So these cards. They had a twist to the game, as you might expect. Shocking enough. But I mean, some of these are really good, and they had a very good narrative piece to the game. Now, I picked out a couple just to kind of read that do show just what that does. So we've got orbital debris. So spawned by the death of some void-borne warship or station, blazing wreckage streaks down from on high to detonate indiscriminately across the battlefield, which translates easily into, and this is the kicker, each player rolls 3 dice at the start of their turn. For each roll of a 6, they may pick a separate enemy unit and inflict D3 mortal wounds upon it. Now, that's devastating. In any game, that's amazing. And then we've got another one.
Is that every turn? Or is that just the first turn?
Each player rolls it at the start of their turn for each run. Yeah, so it might just be the beginning, but I guess that's something that you can discuss.
How much carnage you want to rain down from the orbit. I suppose it cuts both ways, doesn't it? If you're happy to take...
I guess that's time for a cheeky reroll to M6s.
Yeah, and considering how fast 8th edition plays already, it might be a very, very quick game. But then there's another one here, for instance, like Eager for the Fight. So driven by rage and hatred, the opposing armies hurtle across the battlefield, desperate to get to grips with their foe. So White Scars and... Corn Berserkers, running at each other. Add 2 inch to the move characteristic of all models and add 1 to all advance and charge rolls. Now that's, to you getting in the middle of the table by like the end of turn 1 on things like that.
You're just in each other if you have that deployment where you start practically touching each other, don't you?
That's a dangerous
Where you can literally shake your opponent's hand at the start of the game with your forces.
Strong.
But so they seem quite
look
good.
Look out, towel.
Yeah.
Nice.
So that's twists, which are pretty cool.
I've got the sudden death cards.
So yeah, sudden death.
I think these are kind of designed for the games where you're a little bit off on your points. So maybe someone's got more points than you. Maybe you play it as that.
Right.
So these offer you a solution that you can very quickly win the game.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so for this example, sudden death, Vendetta. Play this card. If an attack made by your warlord destroys the enemy warlord, you win the battle immediately.
Wow.
Right.
So obviously there's six different ones of these that can range from anything.
That's hard.
Destroy a character, vehicle, or monster. If you've destroyed half of their army.
Right.
So, you know, it's...
That's quite cool. I don't really think I want to play...
Like a thematic end.
Yeah. I don't know whether I'd quite want to play a route like a one of them every game, but it's quite a nice idea, isn't it? Though I suppose it keeps your game short. If you want to play in an evening and you've got a defined time limit, take one, and if that gives you a guaranteed sort of win condition, you can just play for that, and then that'll hopefully bring the game.
Yeah,
that's it. Yeah, so time it kind of fits in nicely with some of those different deployment ones. For this one, example, starting from the third battle round, play this card at the end of your turn if there are no enemy models in your deployment zone.
Right.
So if you're starting where the deployment zones are touching,
yeah,
and they can very quickly be
get into
on
yours.
You. Yeah, that's
clear
it.
Your deployment
zone. So like I said, it might not be to everybody's tastes, but if you're playing some very characterful games, maybe in a campaign, it could be a good laugh.
So this could be a thing that we could look at using for
totally
desecration.
Roll this into desecration.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good.
So it looks like this ruse and the sudden death victories. So after you finished setting up, each player adds up all the power ratings, but you might be able to use points, but it sounds like it's more for open play. But so the player that has the least amount of points gets to choose from the ruse deck, and if one army has total that is least double the other player with the lower total is allowed to take top card from the sudden death deck.
Right,
that makes sense then. There we go. Yeah. So if you're really playing that much difference in power.
Yeah.
I just bought this 5,000 point list.
Let's just play the scenario, Jamie.
Wow. Yeah, let's just play the scenario, Jamie. Right.
Oh,
so the ruse cards seem a little bit similar to the sudden death ones, which it sort of makes sense, I suppose. So one of them is revenge. Should the enemy strike down your commander, your furious warriors will
furious wallowers.
Your furious warriors will spare no effort in carrying out their bloody vengeance. Play this card if your warlord is slain. For the rest of the battle, you can add one to your wound rolls made by for all models in your army.
Unless you play the sudden death, warlord dies, game over card.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Strong.
But yeah, like if they quickly kill your warlord, then...
You're going to be pissed off.
Yeah. That's going to upset your opponent when they go, oh, I've chinned your warlord, and I'm going to chin you for the rest of the game now. Here's another one. Inspiring speech. Words have a power that blades and guns will never match. Words have conquered worlds, created heroes and slain armies. Words have started wars, and they have ended them. Play this card after deployment is complete, but before the first battle round. As long as your warlord is on the battlefield, your units automatically pass morale tests.
Mm. Nice.
Yeah,
that's quite cool. That's quite good for sort of the lower morale end of the factions, really. It's quite a nice one. So that's the open war.
Overall, nice deck of cards.
Yeah,
yeah.
Looks good.
For the price, it's pretty good as well.
Yeah. For a tenner, can't really argue.
Totally worth it. Anyways, back to
so that was part of what I bought. So, Rich?
Yeah, I treated myself to the Imperial Armour Forces of Chaos book. Look at that.
Yeah, considering you've now won a Titan that you need the rules for.
You see, these things play out. It must have been destined.
Yeah, right.
All things work out in the end. It's fine. And I bought a new arm for my Leviathan Dreadnought.
Cool.
So I've got the Storm Cannon array.
Because it's horrible in Chaos.
It's very nasty in Chaos, so that'll be painted up in Alpha Legion's colours very soon.
It's not fun. Yeah, so I was tempted by Leviathan, but they had no decent weapons by the time I decided to buy one.
Much so, like the raffle tickets.
Yeah, much like the raffle tickets, I missed out. And my dinner, missed out, late.
Yeah.
Story of the day.
Yeah.
Bit late, bit like Mark this morning when he like slept in.
It's almost like he didn't want to go.
Yeah.
So what I think I'd done, because my alarms were going off on my phone as we were driving up there this morning, is instead of setting it for 7:30 and 8, it appeared they were set for 9 and 9:30, which was a bit of an error on my behalf.
See, we were that excited, we don't sleep, we just sit there in the living room all dressed and with shoes on, ready to go at like 3 in the morning.
That's the problem. It's like you Christmas should day. Get that looked at.
But yeah, the winning of the Riva Titans saw the escalation in the arms race. I bought the heavy rail cannon for my supremacy suit for the town. Should hopefully do some damage on it.
It's very nasty, that. It's pretty horrible.
And then might look at getting a Tiger Shark once the new ones come out.
Yeah, because they bring two of those anti-Titan rail cannons.
Did. We saw them, two of those painted up in the cabinet today.
Really nice.
Very
yeah,
nice.
Their colour scheme was very, very nice in the Forge World cabinets.
Yeah. Really nice.
I think that's one of the things that I'm a little bit less keen on now in going to Forge World and into the Warhammer World store, because everything is all either bare resin or plastic, unless you're going into the exhibit. Mm. And then you see all the painted examples of stuff like...
So do you think they should have painted examples in the store?
I don't know. It feels like they should. Like when you go into a GW store, everything that's in their cabinets is all like painted. Bits of painted stuff to give you ideas, and it gives you sort of concepts. And like, I suppose if you look at, like, if they've got a Mastodon in the cabinet and it ends up being in your, just happens to be in your Legion's colour scheme, you'll be like, I'll take a picture of that and use it for reference when I'm
especially
debating whether I spend the huge amount of money to buy a Mastodon or
not. Consider that you're actually paying to go in the exhibition anyway, so you kind of buy that you are or you aren't seeing them painted on that base. I thought of it like that. That's a good point.
Yeah, they used to have random just armies dotting around like in the gaming hall, didn't they? They used to have like the columns with some of the stats, so I don't know if they're still there. I've not been walked around the hall properly.
Yeah, it just feels a bit odd that they have loads and loads of really nice models, but none of them are painted.
Yeah.
I think, but that seems to be the case since Warhammer World's been remodeled.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
Definitely.
Thing is, they've got glass cabinets, seem to have them everywhere else.
Yeah.
But they seem to be, there's a lot of dioramas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice seeing the models built.
Yeah.
Because you could never go anywhere and see like a Manta fully assembled built in a display cabinet before.
Or like the SOCAR Stormbirds and like the three Titans sort of stood next to each other from like Warhound to Reaver to Warlord sort of thing is pretty mental.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's just my sort of two cents on it, I suppose. What about you, Clark? What did you buy?
Last time I went to Warhammer World on business, although not to Warhammer World on business, if that makes sense. I don't know my company now. I bought the Space Wolves Contemptor Dreadnought body and said, well, next time I go, I'll buy the arms. Just because then it's easier to explain it if it needs to be explained anywhere. And also gives me a reason to buy stuff next time I go. So I bought all of the weapon options for the arms. So,
cool.
Yeah, I think the way I've developed over time with the game, that sounds very, it's developed over time with the game, is I kind of just slapdash bought things because they look pretty, whereas now I've definitely kind of moved across to buying things because that's what the weapon combination would be. So, for instance, this time I bought auto cannon arms, power fist, the assault cannon, the heavy bolter arms and the melter as well. So we're now going to work out how they work best with my army, and then just kind of fluffed out a little bit of my Horus Heresy book collection as well.
Yeah,
so.
Cool.
Nice.
Yeah, that was what I bought, so I was happy with that.
You've definitely got more of a grasp on the game as a whole now.
Yeah, and played my first 8th edition game yesterday as well. It was Chaos, so that went quite well. That's the first time I've ever tabled someone. It's not been a good weekend for you, Jan, actually.
Conversion to Chaos is working, clearly.
Yeah, so, but yeah, that was what I bought. There we go. Yeah, happy with that.
Nice.
Good times. Right. So, it kind of ruled out what we'd got next, which was how did we manage to be a good boy and not spend too much money today. I think, well, I don't think any of us went too overboard, but I think we all spent money.
It's true.
Yeah,
it's true.
So I was tempted to get some hazard suits, but held off.
Especially after how amazing you were saying the rules were this morning.
Yeah, they were quite
those brutal. Burst cannons look just horrendous. the amount of shots they can put out.
Definitely.
That's cool.
Cool.
The next bit we've got is thoughts on what we saw. Well, I think we've kind of covered that in the favourite things that we saw today.
Yep.
One of the things that we did see that I thought was quite cool was on the Hobbit display in the Forge World exhibit was their sort of table that they built with those Lake Town
plastic sets.
Yeah.
And they built a big sort of Lake Town plastic town, basically, that was all painted up really nicely.
Yeah. All using the same set, which I was really impressed with.
Yeah.
It was, I think they said, mate, was it, did they say 18?
18 copies.
I think they said about 18 of the Lake Town kits, and it was like a small village, in effect, or like a village next to a part of the lake with all little jetties and boats and stuff moored up next to it. It looked amazing. That was one of the cool things.
I liked the, it's nice to see that the new massive Chaos Dragon coming along nicely. Every time we see it, they add more to it.
It's got the seat now, hasn't it, so...
It's going to be a monster, that is, isn't it?
It is, definitely. Definitely.
Maybe one of us will win it in another raffle.
That's it. Considering, I think one of the other times we went, Smaug was there as the biggest dragon they had, and that one dwarfs it by about two times the size.
Yeah, it's massive.
It is, yeah, definitely.
That's going to be a phenomenal kit when that comes out.
Don't drop it.
And again...
baby killer.
It's great to see that they're moving forward with Necromunda. I'm seriously excited about it.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
So I know that there's a lot of people out there who still have the old school metal teams. Yeah. Sorry, teams, gangs.
Yeah. Oh, I've got one.
I think I've got about three, maybe four of the old metal gangs.
There you go. Well, so ready to go already.
Dig them out.
But I'll definitely be picking the starter setup when that comes out.
Definitely.
Because there was quite a lot of hype when we got there.
Especially if it ends up being a little bit like when Shadow War came out and it's got some of the Mechanicus or Imperium sort of terrain in with it as well. If they do that sort of box set, I'll be well in for it.
Mm-hmm. Listening to Andy talk to someone, and he said when they released that terrain, he was kind of like, that'll work really well for Necromunda. And he went and talked to Tony, who's like the head of Forge World, and was like, can we... look at them in Necromunda again.
Yeah.
And Tony's like, yeah, go for it.
My kids.
And yeah, they've just took the ball and ran with it from the models that I've seen, and they had pictures in like one of their A3
binder
things that look really good.
Be interesting to play Necromunda on that oil rig.
Oh, yeah.
That they've made out of that mechanical kits.
The Gene Stealer Corps.
Yeah, the Gene and the Sealers.
In the exhibit, there's a table that's got one of the Arvus Lighters sort of landing on a big landing pad made out of the Mechanicus sort of terrain. But it's basically like a big oil rig that's just been constructed that must be like 3 or 4 foot.
I was going to say, it's massive.
And
it's really, really tall.
But it's cool, and you've got like an Inquisitor and a couple of her sort of retinue. Because I think it's the Greyfax by the looks of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's sort of coming out of this Arvus Lighter. And they're being met on this platform by like a Gene Stealer guy who's got a proper Bane face mask on sort of thing, haven't they? And then there's
everything's cool here, don't worry.
Yeah, and it's kind of cool because like the guys that are with him look quite human, but then as you walk around the exhibit, you start seeing all of the Gene Stealer called neophytes, like the guardsmen with their Gene Stealery faces and stuff that are hiding.
Three arms, like hiding in the corners and stuff.
Yeah, that's really cool. That's one of the ones that I do like as well. But I think I think the Mechanicus terrain works so well for that kind of thing.
Yeah,
really
cool.
I was also listening to Will Hayes, who designs most of the new Tau vehicle. He did the Barracuda, and I think he did the Supremacy suit as well. Talking about the new Tiger Sharks and how he's like thought about the designs and slimmed them down a bit, and like you've got the fuselage running through the middle. He's added magnets for like holes for where you can put a magnet so you don't have to get your drill bit out and potentially wreck your model because you did it wrong. The pre-filled holes for magnets everywhere.
It's nice that they're thinking that forwards because they know people do it.
Yeah,
underneath they've got detachable bits the normal one can either have drone bays or missile bays.
Yeah.
And you can take the bits off there and put it in the drone bays in
or the missile bays. That's really cool.
Really cool models, and he's also saying he'd hopes he's allowed to revisit maybe the Remoras at some point as well.
They're the stealth drone things.
Yeah, the stealth drone things. Nice. And maybe the Orca dropship.
That's the
shoebox thing from the Fire Warrior again.
Yeah.
And he said it looked like a shoebox, and they've not sold that for years, and I know Tau players like pay an arm and a leg for that on eBay.
Oh, really?
And I told him, like, that goes for series. Mate, you redid that, that would sell pretty well, because, like, yeah, everyone...
I thought they looked quite cool, to be honest. I quite like the...
Yeah, and he was talking about how he's got ideas of how he might, like, want to do it.
And change
it
a little bit.
He's been thinking about it. Whether he'll be allowed to do it, I'm not sure. He's, like, thinking about having different, like, almost like containers underneath it, so kind of like where the engines come across, like on poles top, kind of like beams,
pylon
type
sort of,
things, yeah. And then like kind
a bit
of
like
Thunderbird 2, so like you'd have individual ones for like crisis suits, maybe,
so effectively it goes and decides which container it wants to pick up, and then it flies, and then it can dump a container out, and
or
then
it have a like a shipping container with a ramp for fire warriors to come out, or like little silos for drones that could just drop out the bottom.
Love it. Nice. So Thunderbird 2, look out for it. You've heard it here first.
Painted green.
He said he wants to revisit all of the Tau vehicles at some point.
That's pretty cool.
Coming to a golden demon near you.
Yeah. There was something that we saw that I thought was really cool, and I had it, and then it's just gone out of my head.
What do you think of that? Yes. We spoke to...
It was Tony about
Fires of Syraxis. Yeah, book with the worst timing ever.
Mm.
It was about finished, and then, like, you might have heard of it, GW released 8th edition.
Yeah.
Have they?
Yeah.
It was subtle.
It was kind of like, they kind of snuck it in there.
Yeah, slipped it in.
And this book that they'd been working on for quite a while, because it had been announced 2 Warhammer Fests ago.
Yeah, definitely.
All of a sudden, it's... You know, it's
been put on the back burner.
It's the rules have expired, and it's no good.
Well, not only that, they said they're going to have to move the timeline around.
But you've got the Great Rift now.
Yeah. They did say that the fluff's going to have to change, so it's doesn't look like it'll be out anytime soon.
Not by the sounds of it.
No, he didn't look too impressed. Well, within reason, but I mean, he looked like he'd got a job on his hands to get it.
Yeah. But on the bright side, he did say it's going to be AdMech with the mechanical robots from 30k. It's going to be Tau, and we're expecting some Primaris.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So maybe some new Primaris units.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That'd be pretty cool.
Just remembered, the Forge World are doing new door sets for all of the first founded Legion sets, and they've got a Rhino.
These
a
are the circular doors,
for these the are circular doors. Well,
saw them for the new hover tank.
They got repulsor doors as well.
They looked really good.
Yeah, so they got, I think they got a regular Rhino.
Yeah.
So a regular Rhino chassis, a Land Raider chassis, a repulsor chassis, and then a 30k chassis.
Yeah, the Mark 1 Rhino with the circular doors.
That looked good.
Yeah. With the Blood Angels doors, it looked amazing.
Yeah, and they said that the Blood Angels ones are going to be out quite soon. I think within the next month.
Because we're expecting the Blood Angels 30k rules at some point, so I presume they're going to be released.
Well, considering we've seen the book cover being done as well, by the looks of it, it shouldn't be too far away, I wouldn't have thought. But also, it sounds like they're going to do all of the first founding Legion ones. They're going to get a new set of doors, which looks really cool. Yeah. Seeing the repulsor in the flesh, because I've not actually seen one like in your hand, basically, and it's about the size of a Land Raider,
pretty much,
which looks really cool, because I think the pictures can make you look a bit short, a bit sort of
stubby,
a bit sort of small almost, and you think like it looks like it's bristling with guns on quite a small model, whereas it is still bristling with guns, but it's a much bigger model and it all kind of fits.
It seems
a bit more in proportion. It doesn't quite seem as bad when you see it in the flesh.
To be honest, at some point, I've got a bit mixed up in my head. I've seen so many pictures of the new repulsor that I get mixed up with the ones that have been photoshopped.
Mm.
And there's some that look so real. And then you look at it in real life and you go, you know what? I thought it looked stupid with the amount of guns. No, not quite so much.
No.
In the flesh, it looks so much better.
Yeah. And with, I don't play Blood Angels, but with Blood Angels doors, it looks insane as well.
Yeah, it does look nice.
It's good.
Right. I don't think we tried anything new at Bugman's. I know, you had.
Yeah,
we had the new smoothie.
Yeah, we tried. Yeah, so two things. We both had the new smoothie.
Which was nice.
It was, it was quite...
Purple power.
Purple power.
Oh, yeah, it was filling in nice and... Yeah, it was all right for the price, I think. It was about the same price as anywhere else you'd get a smoothie, so I was quite chuffed with that.
Don't have the Diet Coke. getting bunged £2 for a Coke is insane.
The soft drinks machine wasn't
for the little bottles.
Yeah, the soft drinks machine. We think they'd run out of syrup or something, and they couldn't just use the taps, basically.
And they seem to be overrun today anyway with orders, I think.
It was rammed.
It's always rammed.
We didn't go at peak lunch. We went at about, what, 1:45?
Yeah.
And it was still...
Half 1:15,
yeah, they were still running off their feet. And, but I tried the fries with the...
The dirty fries.
Dirty fries, yeah. It was quite filling, actually. Nice roasting, as you'd expect, with melted cheese. So can't complain. Barbecue sauce, pulled pork. Yeah, it was very nice. Mm. Enjoyable.
Strong.
Was your food hot?
Mighty well, yeah, because she put it in front of me first.
Because the plates are hot. I assume that's because they had put it in the oven to melt the cheese.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
My burger was cold.
Mine was cold.
Mine was tepid. Wasn't quite cold, but it was on the way to being cold.
So
it's not
Bugman's, like, it's a D from me.
It let us down today.
The portion sizes are big for what you pay, but it's not great food, to be honest. Just get in the car and go 5 minutes around the corner to Mackey's.
Pro tip.
I think we'd got spoilers from the day sort of written down as a talking point, but effectively I think we've covered what we would consider spoilers. I don't think there's anything else really.
Well, the only thing was there's going to be some new Space Wolves models, which I found out afterwards while I was reading the car on the way back. So there was a little, for want of a better word, shoddy looking Space Wolf cataphractite Terminator, which a lot of people have kind of already said looked quite poor and 80s, but it's in production. But some of the people that had spoken to the designers, I can't take credit for this, had said that there's going to be some new Grey Hunters and some new upgrades as well. So not much in terms of units and things, but there's going to be some Space Wolf stuff. Watch this space. So as a Space Wolf player, that's great. And an Imperial Fist player, pretty good too. From Simon Egan. So.
Dawn's going to have a moustache. You hear it here first. Handlebar moustache.
And a vest, apparently.
And there will be a string vest under that power armour.
Yeah, we were talking with Simon Egan, and it was just a bit of a joke that we were having with him, and Clark was like, "No, guys, no guys."
How did the moustache even come up? Because I was off talking. He was talking
about the pose. It's going to be a very stoic pose.
A very Dawn pose.
He's standing there with his oversized chainsaw.
Yeah,
looking all manly, building walls like a pro. And we just, after seeing so many pictures of Dawn over the time, I just posed the question, like, is he going to have a moustache? And then 30 seconds later, we got onto the whole fisting thing, and then wearing string vests.
And then Simon was like, I don't think I can get it out of my head. And we'll be like, when it comes out, everybody will be like, why has he got a moustache? And he'll be like, some guys came for Forge World Open Day and they made it sound really appealing, so we sold it
for you.
It wasn't even a moustache though, was it? It was a proper sit up and beg, like, handlebars moustache that you were going for, like, with a leather cap and everything.
We were going for the whole, you know, maybe having a low collar on his power armour so you can just see the string vest poking out.
Jesus Christ.
It's when it comes with an alternate head with the moustache. Yeah.
No. Well, with an 8-ball in his mouth.
Oh dear. Not constructive.
Yeah, that was quite funny. So I suppose kind of a spoiler, but everybody's kind of going to expect it. You haven't got to wait for a new book for the rules for things like the Sakaar and Omega tank destroyer, the Arca strike tank, and the Onion / Orion dropship.
Yeah,
which does look amazing in the flesh.
Yeah,
it's massive.
It's as big as a Thunderhawk nearly. So
yeah,
and
twice as wide.
Fully detailed interior.
Yeah. It looks seriously impressive. But yeah, apparently their rules will be out within the next month or so, maybe.
Yeah, we'll be expecting them on the website soon.
Yeah, so you keep your eyes peeled on the Forge World site to see the rules for them. I think maybe if they'd have had one of the Omega tank destroyers when we'd have got to the sales stand, I might have been tempted.
Yeah,
but
I think
fortunately they were all gone.
Yeah.
So
they look really good. Really, really good. We saw the Blood Angels ones in the flesh.
Yeah.
In one of the display cabinets. It was really nice.
Yeah.
I saw the Thousand Suns Praetor model, actually, in the cabinet where the custodies were, just past, like, where we'd been talking to Simon.
Oh, yeah.
Like, all of that stuff was in there. And Thousand Suns Praetor looks really nice in the flesh as well.
Yeah, urge to do Thousand Suns increasing.
Man, so hard. Says the man who just bought Index Xenos 2 and Index Xenos from Forge World. Yeah.
Strong.
Yeah.
Yeah. Urge to do towel increases.
Come back to the greater good.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
That'll be fun.
Right.
Speaking of which, apparently the Tyke Sharks, one of them, the production model has been approved by Will, and he's hoping to do the AX10, prove it this week, hopefully. Cool. So they should hopefully be coming out soon, maybe, unless they decide to wait for the book and the rules, and it will be, who knows.
A while.
Yeah, on production, apparently, just back to this, Dawn has 2 more weeks of minor sculpting detail.
Yeah, and they go to production, I think.
Yeah, they've already part-produced casts for some of his appendages.
Yeah.
Just waiting for a little bit of work on his cape and he should be almost there.
Yeah, Simon said that the guy who's doing the base sent him a picture of the finished base that he's going to be on, and he sort of suggested that it was a sort of a Gilman-esque base as well, didn't he? So sort of standing on some sort of Knops, war... torn area.
Yeah,
it's what
say.
I would have seen.
Yeah.
Hopefully, get a feel for the work he's been doing on the palace.
Yeah, that'd be quite cool.
So, should be good. Should be good. Right, closing thoughts.
I am definitely going to do another Forge World Open day.
They're always a good laugh.
They're an amazing day.
Yeah,
it's such a good day out.
Getting to talk to the designers.
Yeah, I think it's
amazing.
And I think having your in the cost of your ticket, having free entry into the exhibit is really nice as well.
Yeah. I mean, I come all the way down from Manchester for it, obviously. I make a weekend of it. But yeah, the fact that you can do that, you kind of get a saving on the ticket, as you'd said. You get to talk to the designers, and there aren't many companies on that I've spoken to that you speak to their staff and they talk so passionately about the job that they do, which kind of just, you know, flows all over us as customers as well. Because if they're passionate about it, then we're definitely going to be excited for it as well. So,
hence why we're doing what we're doing as soon as we've got back from it. Yeah.
Definitely excited to get this down. It's just interesting to talk to the people who are making the things that you buy. And you can, these are the guys that have crafted.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They've really put effort and love into these models.
And you guys, as a customer, you've got the chance to influence them as well in some respects. I mean, you know,
handlebar mustaches.
Everyone handlebar mustache from now on, all Marines.
I can't grow one, so
and just gets a chin strap.
But it's nice talking to them, and you can tell that they don't go to work thinking it's just a job. Like, I fucking hate this, I'm just doing it for the money.
Yeah.
They're like really passionate about what they're actually doing.
Yeah, a lot of them that we talk to, they actually play the game themselves.
Yep.
And that's always good if people are actually taking the time to use what they're producing as well. It's got to be good. It's got to be good for the hobby overall.
Yeah, wicked. I think that's us probably done for today's episode. So thank you for listening. You can find us on Facebook via searching for Mortal Wound Podcast. If you go to theheroicplay.com, you can find our podcast archive and some other bits and bobs. Follow us on Facebook, send us some messages, and if you want to email us with any thoughts or suggestions, our email is theheroicplay@gmail.com.
Last thing, if you know how to transport a Reaver, get in touch.
Or base it.
Right, so, and thanks everyone, guys. Thanks for coming.
Thank you. Thanks for joining us.
Bye.